verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask you to work in our hearts this morning. Please take your word and use it in us. Help our spirit to be open to your spirit, listening to your spirit. May we have a heart to receive the truth, the word of God. May we be changed by it. May we be helped by it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about the key to being an overcomer. The key to being an overcomer. I want to be an overcoming Christian. I want to be a victorious Christian. I want to know victory in my daily life. I want to be victorious in my spirit. I want to be victorious over sin. I want to be victorious in my walk with God. I want to be victorious in my family. I want to be victorious in my relationships. I want to be victorious in living a life of fruitfulness and in living a life of blessedness, a life that is truly blessed of God. I asked this question this morning, what is the purpose of an overcoming life? It's to glorify God. What is the purpose of an overcoming life? It's to glorify God. It's to help others. It's to live a life that would point others to Christ. I ought to be an overcomer so that my life can also be used of the Lord to point others to Him. What's the problem that we sometimes face in living an overcoming life? It's when we tend to live selfishly. When we live for self. It's when we become full of pride or self-glory in our lives. And that's something we'll all face. Something that will be a hindrance. Something that will be a problem in trying to keep us from having an overcoming life and a blessed life. What's the product of living an overcoming life? What's the product of being an overcomer? It's going to be a victorious Christian life. It's going to be a life of usefulness. It's going to be a life of fruitfulness for God. It's going to be a life of joy. It's going to be a life of serving others, a life of dying to self and living for Christ. It's going to be a deep and abiding and wonderful relationship with God. Let me share with you a number of thoughts here this morning. We're going to look at several scriptures. If you got your Bible, you may not, if you have struggled finding the verses, just try to listen close if you can't get there in time. But look with me first, if you would, at Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I want to share with you just several thoughts this morning about this thing of the key to being an overcomer, or the key to having an overcoming life. The first thought this morning, number one, is this. One of the keys to living the victorious Christian life is having an awareness of the presence of Christ in your life. One of the keys to living the victorious Christian life is having an awareness of the presence of Christ in your life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Try to listen real close. The devil does everything he can to try to distract you from listening. He tries to cause you to think about other things and this and that. Try to focus and turn to the scriptures if you can and listen together this morning. Try to listen to God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. When we truly know the Lord, it causes within us a desire to live a crucified life. It causes within us a desire to die to selfish ambitions and to die to our own will and to die to sin. And to allow the life of Christ to be lived through us. When we know that the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us and that He is with us in every situation of life. It causes us to want to honor Him. It causes us to want to obey Him and to follow Him. And it'll give us a desire to please Him. If we're aware of the presence of Christ, that He's with us, and He's to be living in us and through us, why don't you think that would make us more desirous to please Him? No one has ever lived a victorious Christian life if they've not recognized that Jesus Christ is always present with them after they get saved. If we don't have an awareness of the presence of Christ in our life, then we may think we can do whatever we want. We may think, oh, I can go on and nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody cares. It doesn't matter what I do, but oh, someone sees and someone cares and someone wants us to do right. We need an awareness of the presence of Christ. The story is told of a little boy. Not a little boy per se, but a young boy, probably a youth, a teenager, who was working in a general store. The owner of the store was gone, and so the boy was there working alone. And when a man came in to try to purchase some dry goods from that store, the boy was measuring out the exact amount and telling the man how much it cost for the amount that he requested. After the boy told the man the price, the man said to him, "Scoop in a little bit more. Just put a little bit more in the bag. Your boss isn't here. He'll never know." The man didn't know that this young boy was a Christian. And the boy replied, "Sir, I can't do it. I'm a Christian. My master is always here. He's watching me right now." When we're aware of the presence of Christ in our life, you know what? It will cause us to live differently. It will cause us to be overcomers. It will help us to be victorious. It will help us to keep from sinning. It will help us to overcome temptation. It will help us to overcome when the flesh maybe wants to do wrong, but we realize and remember, oh, Christ is in me. Christ is to be living through me. It will help us to be an overcomer. Help us to do right. You know, one of the keys to living the victorious Christian life, first, is having an awareness of the presence of Christ in your life. An awareness of the presence of Christ in your life. Here's a second key. One of the keys to living an overcoming life or a victorious life, of course, is first being saved through faith in Christ. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says there, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" One of the keys to living an overcoming life, one of the keys to being a victorious Christian, is first, of course, we must be saved through Christ. We must be saved through faith in Christ. There's going to be no victory, no hope, no salvation, no eternal life, no overcoming, no desire to live for Jesus, no desire to live that crucified life unless we're first born again. A person must receive God's gift of salvation by faith. They must come to Jesus Christ. How can we overcome the world? How can we overcome sin? Well, we first need to be saved, of course. You first must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be an overcomer, in order to live a life of victory. Here's a third thought quickly this morning. One of the keys to living an overcoming life or a victorious life is understanding that your sins are already forgiven. Understanding that your sins are already forgiven. Turn back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12. 1 John 2 and verse 12. The Bible says there, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. If you can find it, turn back with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Isn't it a blessing to know that our sins are forgiven? Past, present, future. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're justified, that all the sins of your past, they are wiped away. They're removed. They're no longer on your record. And not only that, but He promises not to impute, not to record, not to write down any of your future sins. Listen, it's such a blessing to know that sins are forgiven. I've been set free. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Oh, it's wonderful when we know that our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done for us. It's a key to having an overcoming life. If Satan tries to bring up your past, don't worry about it. We're washed. We're cleansed. We're forgiven. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Doesn't that encourage us to want to live a life of victory and to be an overcomer? Knowing what Jesus Christ has already done for us, that if you're here this morning and you have put your faith and trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you know Him as your personal Savior, to be able to think about and remember and contemplate and just be blessed by the thought that, hey, all my sins have been forgiven me. I was a sinner that was on my way to hell. I was condemned by God. I was under the judgment of God, but He's washed all my sins away. Oh, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And the knowledge and the understanding and the grasping of that thought can help us to become overcomers. Jesus Christ has already defeated sin and death and hell and Satan for us. We can be overcomers. We can be victorious through Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Understanding and knowing that your sins are forgiven should help us to be overcomers. We're children of God because we've already put our faith in Jesus Christ. If you're in God's family, then what should you do? You should seek to honor and glorify your Heavenly Father. You should seek to please Him in all your ways. Honor Jesus Christ in your life. If you've been born again, if you've trusted Christ, if you've been saved, shouldn't we seek to honor Him with our life? He already defeated sin and death and hell for us. He's washed us from our sins. He set us free. But now He wants us to live an overcoming life, a victorious life through Him. Live for Jesus and you can know that life of victory. You can know God's will. Back in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 again in verses 15 to 17, it said this: "Love not the world." Oh, don't love this world. Don't love the sins of this world or the world's philosophy. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Don't you want that overcoming life? Don't you want to be an overcomer? Don't you want a life of victory? When we grasp and understand this great truth that our sins are forgiven, shouldn't it stir within us a desire and a passion to give our life to Jesus, to do His will? Shouldn't we fall in love with Jesus and forsake this old world and all its sin? Romans chapter number 12. And verses 1 and 2. Find it there with me if you would. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Shouldn't we fall in love with Him? Shouldn't we fall in love with our Savior? I mean, the one who's washed us, the one who's cleansed us, the one who's taken all our sins away. Shouldn't we consecrate our lives to Christ to do His will? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I plead with you, I beg with you, I urge you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, those who truly understand and those who appreciate the blessedness of having all their sins forgiven, they will desire to be overcomers. They will desire to live that life of victory that we can have through Jesus Christ. Don't you desire that? One of the keys to an overcoming life, one of the keys to having a victorious life, is understanding that your sins are already forgiven. One of the keys, we said, number one, to the overcoming life is understanding and having an awareness of the presence of Christ in our life. Of course, we won't have that presence if we've not been saved, and that was key number two, and it wasn't in any particular order. But our second key was this: we must be saved through faith in Christ. If we're going to be overcomers, if we're going to have a victorious life, we must be saved. Number three, one of the keys to an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding that, hey, your sins have already been forgiven and we're washed by the blood of Christ. And oh, how that ought to stir within us a desire to live a life of victory and to be an overcomer of the world and instead do the will of God. Here's another thought. Number four, one of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding that you're already on the winning side. Understanding that you are already on the winning side. Look at 1 John again, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. As you're turning there, 1 John 2 and verse 13 says this: ye have overcome the wicked one. Ye have overcome the wickedness. Praise God. Ye have overcome the wickedness. And look what it says in 1 John 4 and verse number 4. Remember, keeping this thought in mind, ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse 4, 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what? Thank God, we're on the winning side. I have Christ in me. If you're saved, you have God's Holy Spirit living within you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We don't have to be defeated. We can be victorious. We don't have to be defeated. We can be overcomers. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Let me give you another key quickly. One of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding your need to abide in Christ and allow His Word to abide in you. Let me state it again. One of the keys to living an overcoming life or a victorious life is understanding your need to abide in Christ and to allow God's Word to abide in you. Look with me at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. He says there, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. We're definitely not strong on our own. The only reason that they must have been strong, they could say that to them, was because the Word of God abideth in them. The Word of God abideth in you, He said to them. The only way to be strong and victorious and to be an overcomer is to abide in Christ and allow His Word to abide in us. You know, the Bible says without Him, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Without Him, we will fail. Without Him, we will struggle. Without Him, we'll not overcome. Without Him, we'll be defeated. An abiding relationship is vital to being a victorious Christian. An abiding relationship with Christ and with His Word is important. It's a key to us being able to overcome and be victorious in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, back to the Gospel of John. As you look in the New Testament, you'll find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at John chapter 15 and verse number 1. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. Allowing God's Word to abide in you is a key to overcoming sin. Allowing God's Word to abide in you is a key to overcoming temptation. Allowing God's Word to abide in you is a key to having a right spirit and to walking in the Spirit and to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Look what the Gospel says in John chapter 15 and verse... Let's begin in verse number 1. Jesus makes this statement: I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The husbandman was the caretaker for the orchard. He compares it here that he is the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Abiding in Christ and allowing God's word to abide in you will make your life more fruitful and useful to God. Abiding in Christ and allowing God's word to abide in you will help you to become a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Abiding in Christ and allowing God's word to abide in you will help you to have a victorious prayer life. You see, it will make a difference. If we're going to be overcomers, if we're going to be victorious in this thing of living the Christian life, it's so important that we abide in Christ and allow His Word to abide in us. We can be overcomers when we abide in Christ. We can be victorious when we allow God's Word to abide in us, to remain in us. We need to meditate on what we read and apply it to our hearts and lives. We need to determine that we're going to keep His Word in our life, to let His Word abide in us. Keep His Word. Keep His commandments. Bring your life into alignment with God's will and God's desire for your life. As you do that, as you abide in Christ and allow God's Word to abide in you, you can have an overcoming life. You can be an overcomer. You can overcome the flesh. You can be victorious in your Christian life. You can have a victorious prayer life. You can be fruitful and blessed and used of God. Oh, we need the overcoming life, the victorious Christian life. I said first, number one, this morning that one of the keys to us becoming an overcoming Christian is having an awareness of the presence of Christ in our life. Secondly, one of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is being saved through faith in Christ. Number three, one of the keys to having an overcoming life or a victorious life is understanding that our sins have already been forgiven. They're washed. We can have victory through Him. Number four, one of the keys to living an overcoming life or a victorious life is understanding that you're already on the winning side. Shouldn't that be encouraging to us? Hey, we're already on the winning side. We've already, Christ has defeated the wicked one for us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We're on the winning side. One of the keys, number five, to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding your need to abide in Christ and allow His Word to abide in you. Number six, one of the keys to living an overcoming life or a victorious life is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. The Bible says here, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God doesn't want us to be under the control or under the influence of alcohol. He wants us to be under the control or under the influence, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit of God. When we're under His influence and when we're under His control, listen, we'll be overcomers. When we're under His influence and under His control, we'll be victorious in our Christian life. We don't have to be defeated by temptation. We don't have to be defeated by sin. But we must be controlled by the Spirit of God. You know what? Being controlled by the Holy Spirit, we can learn several things, but it'll help us to be victorious in all the relationships of our life. Where the Bible tells us about being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5, it goes on for the whole rest of the chapter and talks about the relationship between husbands and wives. Boy, that's a needy relationship in our world today. That's a relationship that seems like it's crumbling and struggling and so many times and there's brokenness. Then we go into chapter 6, it talks about the relationship between parents and children. Wow, those relationships sure need help in our world today. Sometimes children will rise up against parents to curse their parents or even to kill their parents. Parents are frustrated not knowing how to rear their kids or how to deal with teenagers. Boy, what do we need? How are we going to be victorious in having a good marriage or good homes or good relationships with our children or teenagers? How are we going to be victorious? Well, we're going to need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're desperately going to need to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. It goes on beyond that even in chapter 6 and talks about relationships between like employers and employees, masters and servants. Boy, you got a boss that's just real hard to get along with. You got a co-worker that's just real difficult to get along with. You got relationships in life, whether it be work relationship or family relationship or some other relationship that, oh, it just seems so difficult. What do we need? The key is we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. We can be victorious in parenting. We can be victorious in training and rearing our children. We can be victorious in our employer-employee-work relationships. We can be victorious in the home. And we're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice another way that being controlled by the Holy Spirit will help us to have victory. As a child of God, of course, it should be our desire then that we want to overcome sin. We don't want our lives to be tangled up with sin. Look what it says in back just a few pages before, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." He set us free. It says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I don't want my life to be tangled up in sin as a believer, as a child of God. We can overcome. Satan, though, will do everything he can to try to hinder us. He'll try to hinder us from running the Christian race. He'll try to keep us from winning. He'll try to stop us from being victorious. Notice what it says down in Galatians 5 and verse 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Oh, Satan is always an enemy trying to hinder us. He'll always try to hinder us from following Christ. He'll always try to hinder us with temptation. He'll always try to hinder us by shooting his fiery darts at us. He wants us to be defeated Christians. He doesn't want us to have a victorious prayer life. He doesn't want us to have a good marriage or a good family or a good home. He doesn't want you to be victorious in the Christian life. He doesn't want you to overcome sin and temptation. Oh, he will fight us on every turn. How can we possibly be overcomers and victorious? We're going to have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. God promises that we can have victory, we can be overcomers. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look what it says down in verse 16, Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like. But notice verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Oh, you know what we need? You see how living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and being controlled by the Spirit makes such a difference? Help us to overcome the flesh. Oh, the flesh nature, the works of our flesh is just... it does nothing to strengthen relationships. It does nothing to help us to please God. It does nothing to give us a better home. No, when we're not walking in the Spirit and we're not controlled by the Spirit, oh, we'll struggle and struggle and struggle and we won't be victorious. What do we need? What is a key? What is a key? We've got to be controlled by the Spirit of God. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to be led of the Spirit. It'll help us to have victory. Isn't that what you and I want? I don't want to live in the flesh. I want to be yielded to and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. He lives inside of me, and I want to be an overcomer. I want to be victorious with His help. I want to live a victorious life. We can do that as we walk in the Spirit. We can do that as we're led of the Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. We can be overcomers. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of an overcoming life? I said it's to glorify God. It's to help others. It's to live a life that points others to Christ. What's the problem that we face in living an overcoming life? It's when we live selfishly or walk in the flesh. It's when we live for self. It's when we become full of pride or self-glory. What's the product, though, instead of an overcoming life? Oh, it's victory. It's a life of usefulness and a life of fruitfulness. It's a life of joy and a life of peace and a life of harmony in our relationships. It's a life of serving others. It's a life of dying to self and living for Christ. It's a life of a deep and abiding and wonderful relationship with God. I said these thoughts this morning. Number one, one of the keys to living the victorious Christian life is first having an awareness of the presence of Christ in our life. Are you aware of the presence of Christ? Are you mindful that Christ lives in you, the Spirit of God lives in you if you're saved? And because of that, are you seeking to please Him? I said number two, one of the keys to living an overcoming victorious life is, of course, first being saved through faith in Christ. We must be saved. No victory without Him. Number three, one of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding that, hey, our sins are already forgiven. We've been washed. We've been cleansed. We are no longer in chains. We're no longer imprisoned. I don't live any longer in the dungeon of condemnation. I'm not chained by my sins and iniquities. Christ has set me free. Number four, one of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding that you're already on the winning side. Christ has already overcome the wicked one for us. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. One of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is understanding that we have a need to abide in Christ and allow His Word to abide in us. There won't be victory without abiding in His Word. There won't be victory without abiding in Christ. There won't be victory without allowing His Word to abide in you. Oh, it's essential. It's necessary. It's a key. And I said number six, one of the keys to living an overcoming life, a victorious life, is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me share with you one final thought, one final key that will help you to be an overcomer in your life. And this is an area of life where God clearly wants us to be overcomers. It's a simple thought, but I want you to look at something with me. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I want you to see this. This final area where God wants us to be overcomers has to do with our relationships with others. And it has to do with our treatment of others that have hurt us or those that have been unkind to us or those that have sinned against us. Notice what it says in Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Look at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but what does it say? Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Before you were saved, you know what? It was very natural. It was very natural and very normal in our sinful flesh nature that we would try to repay evil for evil. Before we get saved, oh, it's just natural that we want to hurt someone if they've hurt us, or we want to get even. We want to hold a grudge. We want to be bitter. We don't want to let them off the hook. We think they should pay when somebody's done us wrong. Somebody disrespected me. Somebody mistreated me. Somebody did something they shouldn't have done to me. And oh, we want them to hurt. You'll never overcome evil with evil. And God teaches us to overcome evil with good. If you're a Christian now, God wants you to repay evil with good. He says, oh, you want to really make them burn? You want to keep coals of fire on their head? Oh, here's what you do. Repay their evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Do good to them. Do good to them. In Matthew 5, verse 39, it says this. Ye have heard that if it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, go with him two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know what we ought to do? We ought to offer to others the same love and mercy, kindness, forgiveness, and grace that Jesus Christ has shown to us. Oh, but somebody hurt me. Somebody mistreated me. Somebody disrespected me. Somebody, they've wronged me. Repay evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Show love. Show kindness to them. Show forgiveness. But they don't deserve it. Okay. And we didn't deserve it either. We were sinners. We were condemned. But God showed us love and mercy and grace, kindness and forgiveness. Overcome evil with good. If we're going to be overcomers, if we're going to be victorious, one key thing we're going to need to practice in life and in relationships and so on is to overcome evil with good. Do good. Do good to others.